Tonight, we'll be looking at Psalm 150. While you're turning to Psalm 150, I would like to thank Brother Al and the Lakeview staff for allowing me this opportunity to preach here tonight. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Travis Spann, and I'm one of the pastoral interns here at Lakeview. One of my fellow interns, Jay Wise, preached on Psalm 100 two Sunday nights ago, and since I'm preaching on Psalm 150 tonight, I figured we could call this the end of summer sermon series, the two chapters of Psalms by two of the interns. A little long, but I think it has a nice ring to it. But moving on, Psalm 150, the last psalm. Hopefully you found it by now. Let's look at it together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you may already be tuning me out because you think I'm going to preach specifically to the people with musical talent. That's what this psalm is about, right? It talks all about music. Well, I want to show us tonight that this passage is about so much more than music. I want to show us tonight the priority of God-centered praise. Not the priority of God-centered praise only for musicians, but rather the priority of God-centered praise for everyone. Before we dig into this passage, it's important to understand that God created us to praise and glorify Him. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." We are supposed to be people of God-centered praise. We were created to bring God glory. The first question in the Westminster Larger Catechism is, what is the chief and highest end of man? The answer is, man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him forever. Wayne Grudem, in his Systematic Theology, writes, "Since there was perfect love and fellowship among members of the Trinity for all eternity, God did not create us because He was lonely or because He needed fellowship with other persons. God did not need us for any reason. Nevertheless, God created us for His own glory. Therefore, we are to do all to the glory of God." It is important that we set that foundation first, that we know that we were created to bring God glory. Now, looking at Psalm 150, we're going to answer four specific questions about God-centered praise. For those of you just wanting to get the outline written down real quick, here are the four questions. Where should we praise God? Why should we praise God? How do we praise God? And who should praise God? So where, why, how, and then the sermon in a sentence: at all times, because of who God is and what He has done, everyone should respond and praise to God with all that God has given to us. I'm going to say that one more time. At all times, because of who God is and what He has done, everyone should respond and praise God with all that God has given to us. I know that's a long summary sentence, but we're going to break it down into small chunks. First, where should we praise God? Look at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. We see two different locations where we're supposed to praise God. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. The sanctuary during this time period was the temple, the place where God's people gathered. Which means for us today, the place where God's people gather is the church building. So we are to praise Him here within these walls. Stephen J. Cole writes, "The word sanctuary relates especially to the corporate gatherings of God's people. It means that the praise of God should be our main business when we gather as the church. We should not gather primarily to meet with our friends, although that is an aspect of our meetings. We should not come primarily to have our needs met, although that will often happen. We gather primarily to meet with God, to corporately offer praise to Him." sanctuary, praising his mighty expanse. We are to praise God, yes, while we're within the walls of this church building, and we are to praise God all the time in his mighty expanse. Psalm 69, 34 summarizes these verses very well. Let's look at Psalm 69, verse 34. Psalm 69, verse 34 reads, "Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them." Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. This summarizes really well the need to praise him everywhere that we are. We should praise him in the sanctuaries. We should praise him in the heavens and in his mighty expanse. And if we are praising him everywhere we go, that means we are praising him at all times. Remember the sermon summary sentence, at all times, because of who God is and what he has done. Everyone should respond and praise to God with all that God has given to us. So first, where should we praise God? Everywhere, at all times. Second, why should we praise God? Look at verse 2 with me. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let's look at a couple passages throughout the Psalms to help us better understand God's mighty deeds that it talks about right here. It says, praise him for his mighty deeds. Let's look at Psalm 139. 13 and 14. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. And that reads, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." God created us. That's one of his mighty deeds, that he created us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as it says at the start of verse 14, I praise you. We should praise him for that. Now let's look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23. I'm going to read the whole thing. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see here that God comforts us and provides for us. These are more of the mighty deeds that we see throughout the book of Psalms. Let's look at Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. And that reads, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." God forgives us. There are many other examples of God's mighty deeds throughout the book of Psalms and the rest of the Bible. There's no shortage of mighty deeds of God for which we should praise him. These are the things that he has done. The next thing we see in verse 2 is to praise him according to his excellent greatness. And to see that, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. We're going to look at God's excellent greatness. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 17. And that reads, "To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." We see here that God is eternal. He is immortal. He is the only God. And because of that, he deserves honor and glory forever and ever. This is what it means to praise God according to his excellent greatness. We praise him for who he is at all times because of who God is and what he has done. Everyone should respond and praise to God with all that God has given to us.
Jerry Rankin says, God created us, redeemed us, and is worthy of our praise. He created the whole world and died for the sins of all peoples. He is worthy of our total devotion and all the honor and blessing and glory we can give in living for him. Why should we praise God? Because of who he is and what he has done. So first, where should we praise God? Everywhere, at all times. Second, why should we praise God? Because of who he is and what he has done. Third, how do we praise God? Look at verses 3 through 5 with me in Psalm 150. And that reads, praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. And this is where those psalms seemingly becomes geared towards those people with musical talent. But there are a couple of different ways to approach these verses. First, we can approach them literally, which does focus on the musical aspect of these verses. It is okay to praise God with music and dancing. We may not like certain styles of music, but these verses don't put a limit or qualification on the style of music. It just says to praise God with all kinds of musical instruments. If it is being done with a pure heart in praise to God, the style does not matter. Secondly, we can approach these verses metaphorically. What kind of picture is the psalmist painting with these verses? For me, I can identify with the musical aspect of these verses because I play drums. I've been playing drums for quite a while now. I started in the school band when I was in fourth grade. And I clearly remember a time when I was in high school when the band director was trying to instruct me on how to play the orchestra cymbals, the ones that you see those little mechanical monkeys hitting together like that. And I thought it was as simple as just hitting them together, but that's not the case. He told me that I had that proper foot placement. I had to have the cymbals at the right angle. There was a certain way to hold them after I had hit them together to get the most sound out to the audience. And so I realized through that process that it took really my whole body being in correct posture, correct form, for me to play these cymbals correctly. And look at some of the other instruments listed on here, specifically the trumpet there in verse 3. Same thing with the trumpet. You've got to have correct posture and form, correct breathing techniques, press down the right vowels at the right time to get the right notes to come out. And so you see with all these instruments and even with the dancing that it's a whole body experience. It's something that you have to do in the correct form and the correct way for it to be played properly. And I think that's kind of the picture the psalmist is trying to paint here, that we should be praising God with all that we have, with our entire being. And to take that one step further, this is not something that has to be confined to within the walls of the church. As we looked at earlier, we're to praise God everywhere at all times. Are you finding ways to use your God-given gifts and talents to praise God outside the walls of this building? Are you finding ways to use your God-given gifts and talents to tell others about the hope that you have within you? Now, you may not have been given musical talent like what is talked about here in Psalm 150, but all of us have been given gifts and talents by God. Let's look at Romans 12, verses 4 through 8 to talk about that. Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, the many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And we know that there are other passages that talk about the gifts that God has given to each of us. So how are you using those here within the church and even outside of the church to praise God? At all times, because of who God is and what he has done, Everyone should respond and praise to God with all that God has given to us. So how do we praise God? With all that he has given to us. First, where should we praise God? Everywhere, at all times. Second, why should we praise God? Because of who he is and what he has done. Third, how do we praise God? With all that he has given to us. Fourth, who should praise God? Look at verse 6 with me. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, there's something different about this verse. If you look at all of the phrases before it, and even the one right after, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, they all start with praise the Lord, praise God, praise him, praise him, praise him, and it just continues on. But verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And I believe that what the psalmist is doing here is building up to this point. This is the crescendo, not only of Psalm 150, but of Psalm 146 through 150. If you look at those five chapters, they all begin and end with praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And look at Psalm 147, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praises fitting. And then let's look at Psalm 148, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established forever and ever. He gave a decree, and it shall not pass away. And then Psalm 149, verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the godly. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. And then Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the height of the passage. Who should praise God? Everyone. At all times, because of who God is and what he has done, everyone should respond and praise to God with all that God has given to us. So first, where should we praise God? Everywhere. At all times. Second, why should we praise God? Because of who he is and what he has done. Third, how do we praise God? With all that he has given to us. And fourth, who should praise God? Everyone. At the start of the sermon, we talked about the importance of why we were created. We were created to praise and glorify God. Psalm 150 has helped answer four questions to make God-centered praise a priority in our lives. But all of this is easier said than done, right? We can wrap up right now and all of us can walk out of here knowing that at all times, because of who God is and what he has done, everyone should respond and praise to God with all that God has given to us. But we have yet to address the main problem of actually living out these principles. Some of you may have thought tonight, and if not tonight, my guess is you will in the coming days, praise God everywhere, at all times? How am I supposed to do that? That's not realistic. I have a deadline to meet at work, a paper due for class this week, a big family get-together, and a relaxing end-of-summer vacation, which I deserve to prepare for. Or what about these thoughts? Praise God for what he has done? What has he done for me lately? Does he even realize the pain I'm in? The stress I have in my life right now? The fact that my marriage is falling apart? Here's the problem. We would rather praise ourselves than praise God. We would rather praise ourselves than praise God. We would much rather Psalm 150 say, praise me for my mighty deeds. Praise me for my excellent greatness. Praise me at all times. Let everything that has breath praise me. are sinners. And because of our sinful nature, we desire ourselves more than we desire God. But here's the good news. We can have victory over the sin in our lives, not by anything of our own doing, but through the victorious death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. For those of you that have surrendered your life to Christ, you must seek after him at all times. You must rely on his perfect life and his perfect work upon the cross. Look to the mighty deeds and excellent greatness of Jesus, who took our sins upon himself on the cross and defeated them through his glorious resurrection. We have been given much to praise God for in the life of his Son, Jesus Christ. For those of you that have yet to surrender your life to Christ, will you do it tonight? There's no better time than now. Will you place your trust in the only one worthy of our praise? As Matt and the band make their way to the stage, I want us to move into our time of invitation and response. That may look different for every person in this room, and that's okay. My desire is that you would respond in obedience to what God has spoken to you tonight. For some of you, you may need to come to the altar and confess the areas in your life in which you have praised yourself over God. Come and turn those things over to him tonight. For others, you may be sitting there in anticipation and excitement, ready to burst out of your seat in joyful praise to God. And for others, you know that tonight is the night to surrender your life.